Hello and welcome. This is Lights Out and away we go with the episode. We're the Formula One podcast for fans and by fans. I'm Will, and as I look across the digital garage, as always, I'm joined with my co-host, or shall I say my co-driver, Sam. Hello, Sam. How are you?
Hello, Will. Ni hao, listeners. I'm very well, thank you. Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad at all. How are you? How was your weekend?
Yeah, it's been very chilled. I get married next weekend, so we're doing the final prep. We're about to head off to Norfolk, loaded the car up, ready to go. I think one of the most fun tasks we've had was unboxing all the sweets we've ordered for the sweet table, and then A, getting to test them, and then B, put them all in the jars. So we've got lots of sweets. So we've got lots of leftover sweets. So we'll be living off sweets for a good few months afterwards. But yeah, all good. How about you? How was your weekend going?
Yeah, good, thanks. Yeah, not too bad. I mean, if I sound a little bit hoarse, it's not a hangover, despite our travails on your stag do a week ago.
You're still recovering.
I haven't got a week-long hangover. I'm not that bad, or that old just yet. Just got a bit of lurgy, so I'm sort of working my way through it. But was well enough to go and play football as per usual this morning, so not all bad.
And had a nice week off.
It wasn't too bad. We won one game, lost one game. I played all right, got an assist and a goal, so made a contribution, so I'm happy with that. And the games were like good quality, so there's nothing worse than turning up on a Sunday morning feeling a bit ill and getting thumped, so at least competing and having quite a good game I was happy with. So
nice.
Yeah, but yeah, not too bad. How are you feeling after the stag do?
Yeah, I'm feeling all good, actually. It took a couple of days to recover. I think playing 18 holes of golf the Monday after the stag do was quite a bold thing, because that was quite tiring. I feel all good. It was a great weekend. And we should talk about one of the main activities of the stag do was the go-karting.
Yes.
Now, there were ten of us at this point, 10 of us go-karting. There was a lot of pressure on us, I think, as the co-hosts of the Lights Out Formula One podcast, to be good at go-karting. And I think we did a very solid job, didn't we?
I think we did. We acquitted ourselves very well. Both got on the podium.
Yeah.
Take that. Happy days.
And we were the two best performers in both sessions.
Whereas that's true.
Neither of us were quickest, but the guy that was quickest, he was all right, but then he wasn't as good as in the second. He was better in the second session than the first, so we can claim that credit of being consistent performer as well. And we had some good duels in the first session, didn't we? A good few overtakes.
We did. Yeah, it was good. It was good fun. I'm not gonna go on about power to weight ratio differences in go karts based on our sizes and weights of drivers.
True.
In my case, I was very much the. I don't know if you. This might be a bit before your time, but the Alex Wirtz of go karting.
Oh, name rings a bell, but
Or he used to drive for Benetton. He was quite good, but he was massive in comparison to like all the other drivers. Basically, he was like 6'1", 6'2", I think.
I was gonna say it was like a Mark Webber performance. It was He's quite tall. You're quite tall. You had a lot of aggression, speed, just fully centered, which is what Mark Webber would do. So I'd say you were the Mark Webber-esque drive. It was good fun, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was really good. Yeah, I really enjoyed that. It's kind of given me a bit of a I have Googled amateur racing in the week since, because I enjoyed it so much. I was like, I'd love to do this a bit more.
Maybe
it is incredibly expensive, needless to say, but at some point in the future, I'd like to try and do something like that, I think.
Yeah, well, maybe we should start the Lights Out Formula One racing team.
Have you got a spare, $400 million, is it, or whatever, to get in at the moment, at least? Yeah, and then we'll
work away at the categories. But yeah, it's definitely given me the itch as well. Every time I do it, I always get such a buzz from it, and there's such an adrenaline high. I think we're going to go in the summer and go and try out the new Formula One go-karting experience in the Tottenham Stadium, which will mean you have to go to the Tottenham Stadium as an Arsenal fan, which I'm kind of excited. That would be an experience for you in itself, but it was good though. It definitely got the itching bug, I think. It just the racing bug, but just it was great fun. And we all survived.
We did. That is the important thing. There were a lot of incidents. Like, I wasn't expecting as many red flags as there were at a go-karting session.
There was the one bloke that wasn't in our group that flew the car off into the wall. I had what reliability would you say my cart was? Because remember, mine broke down as I was going into the corners. Like, the engine would keep cutting out. What's that, like a Honda kind of vibe? Like, maybe like a Ferrari, maybe?
Yeah, maybe like a Ferrari circa 2021.
Yeah.
2022.
It was quite weird. I was breaking into the first corner and my engine would just completely cut out. And I thought, and then it would pick back up as I was accelerating. And then halfway through the session, it just didn't restart. So I had to get a new car subbed in. So that was lucky. But Yeah, there were a lot of crashes. I mean, that first corner was pretty tight, and it was a pretty quick first corner, which I think caught a lot of people out.
Yeah, it did. But yeah, it was good fun. We finished very close, didn't we? It was some mentally small,
yes,
like Formula One-esque kind of a difference.
Let me get it up. I've got it still saved in my
notes. I'm going to guess it was like 2 or 3 thousandths of a second or something like that. It was like in the thousandths of seconds rather than the tenths, I think.
It was there, yeah. So I was 30.170. That was my quickest lap.
Okay.
And you were 30.194.
Oh.
So 0.024 behind me. That's nothing at all.
Wow.
Okay. And I was 0.096 behind the guy in first. So it was very, very tight.
Yeah.
And yeah, there was the guy that was the last with a 32.125. He was quite considerably the slowest. But
yeah, there was a discussion after, which I didn't want to, or there was a bit of a discussion after, which I thought I was going to contribute to and then decided against it. But it was along the lines of, oh, you know, being within a couple seconds is quite good. And then I thought to myself, if you translate that over a kind of Formula One race lap distance, it's about 6 seconds a lap.
Yeah.
So you'd probably end up being laps like four times over race distance. But anyway, yeah, it was good. It was a lot of fun. And yeah, very much looking forward to getting back in the seat soon, hopefully.
Definitely. We'll have to get more trips planned. So let's return to Formula One then after our on-track action, which probably could have been more exciting than the race. I wouldn't say it was a classic. F1 made its return to Shanghai since 2019. I actually really liked being back. It was such a good circuit. And I think I'll come on to it later, but everyone, like the drivers, seemed really happy to be back at Shanghai, but also the fans were going mental all weekend, and I really rated that. Like in every session they seemed to be really up for it. So yeah, really good to see F1 back in F1 back in China. Sam, I'll ask you my usual question and I'll expect my usual answer because this is life at the moment. Who won the race?
The fastest driver in the fastest car, the inevitable Thanos of Formula One.
he is incredible. I mean, we won't dwell on it too much because it wasn't that interesting, but I think Nico Rosberg summed up pretty well. Even when he wasn't first, he still seemed like he was the race leader, and he just knew he was always going to win. And I think Crofty was a bit like, oh, you know, who's going to beat Max? And he's like, no one.
Nico was a bit of a thorn in Crofty's side through the weekend, which I quite enjoyed.
He was very good. I thought he was very, very good, actually. I thought he's one of the best co-coms they've had in a long time. I think Martin Brundle is really good, but he added something different, I thought. And yeah, I thought he was a real standout for Sky this weekend. I really found him really interesting.
Yeah, no, he was really good. I thought his insight as well, actually, and just giving an insight into the distance Max had, or the difference Max had on Checo, was really good. So in that first stint, when Nico Rosberg was looking at the data, he was like, they were on the same tyre, clearly on the same strategy, but Max was putting 0.6 of a second on Checo every lap. It's unreal. Like, that is... I don't remember a time where a driver dominated their teammate like that. 0.6 a lap, incredible. Yeah, he is unstoppable. He is an incredible force, just in the best form, absolute peak of his powers, in a brilliant car, in a brilliant team. It's just absolutely smashing it, really.
I texted you after the first lap, and he pulled a 1.6 second gap to Alonso, which is just insane. Like, that's absolutely insane. It just shows you the advantage that car has. Even qualifying, you know, so many people were trading over like second and third, and then he pulls it half a second easy. I think he could have gone even quicker in qualifying. He was that good. And you know, the sprint, he came from, what was it, third or fourth to first. The guy, that car and him are on a different level, and I think that's baked in for at least the end of next year, I think.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. Yeah.
And the good thing as well, Alex, about Nico Rosberg, he started saying at the end of the commentary, like, we won't go into it now, but like, he's like, I think now that Max is in the top five greatest of all time, and him and McCrofty start to have that debate. And I think that's a whole separate debate we can have another time. But, you know, that was good commentary as well. We should quickly touch on Checo. Not a good weekend of what was expected from him, really, I think. I mean, yes, he got the car into P3, but he should have, with the pace that car had over and out, he should have been second. And yeah, you know, he did well in qualifying, but first corner, I think he got completely outgunned by Alonso. Then Alonso just decided to just destroy his tyres for a good few laps, then thought, actually, this is not very sensible because my race isn't with Perez, and then let him pass. But yeah, I think the commentary was surprised that Perez couldn't close the gap on Lando to reclaim second in the standings.
Yeah, he seemed to struggle sort of behind Alonso for a bit as well, I thought. Obviously, Alonso jumped him at the start. Yeah, it's a bit of a shame for Checo because quite often he'll qualify sort of a bit further down the order and then have a really good race and come through the order. In this case, he qualified second and dropped back a bit and never really, yeah, looked like he was going to lay a glove on Lando at all. And yeah, as I say, really struggled with Alonso as well in the first stint. So yeah, a bit of a surprising one. I'm not really sure what the issue was. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if the Red Bull's actually not great in dirty air for long periods, which is probably a good design decision because they're not going to spend much time in dirty air, are they? Let's face it. Certainly not Max. So I do wonder if there's something to that. I mean, this generation of cars does seem to struggle more as time has gone on since the rules have changed with dirty air again. But yeah, still a bit surprising given the advantage the Red Bull clearly had on the rest of the field. So yeah, I'd say a kind of pretty average weekend for Checo, really. No one really should be beating a Red Bull car, but credit to Lando as well. I mean, he just drove in like a really good race, lucked out with the virtual safety car a bit, didn't he? And then took full advantage. I thought he looked really good, even in the first stint, actually. He looked really racy. And as the Ferraris were like coming through a little bit, I never really felt like they were going to like trouble Norris at all. Like, I always felt like he had an extra gear. So yeah, just a really good weekend for him. I think Lando's doing a really good, like, it's going a bit under the radar, I think, because of Red Bull domination. But I think Lando's doing a really, really good job for McLaren at the moment, like looking with each passing weekend like a potential championship contender in the not too distant future. So still waiting for that first win, of course. But yeah, I think there's like that. It's this kind of performance that like really cements his position in the top echelon of drivers, I think.
Yeah, agreed. And I think he expected to, I think it was at the end in his, when he was voted driver of the day, they had a radio message between him and his engineer. And he said, oh, you know, I didn't expect the Ferraris to not get past me. So he, you know, that was down to his skillful driving and management of the tyres. I think that's the thing that's differing him and Piastri at the moment. Piastri's still struggling with his tyre management, whereas Lando's is really, really good in these cars at managing his tyres. And he did get very lucky with the VHSC because when it first happened, they didn't pit him straight away and he thought they were going to lose that advantage he could have gained from it. And then I think Leclerc pitted at the same time when he didn't. But then because it took them longer to sort out Bottas's car, he was able to still pit and he still got the advantage. And then, like I say, he just managed it really well to sort of stop Checo from overtaking him. And Checo didn't even really get near to him, I don't think, towards the end. So no. It was quite easy. We should quickly move on to Fernando Alonso. I'm not his biggest fan, but I was watching him in the race. I just thought he was such a classy drive. He is so good for a 40-year-old. He is so good. I do think he's a very, very smart driver and he just drives the car really well. I thought he would put in a really, really good performance. I was just watching and thought, this guy's really good. And like, they made such an error putting him onto the softs, but then they pitted him and he still flew through the grid. And like, you know, I think he got back up to like, I can't remember where he finished, but maybe like, was it fifth, sixth or seventh?
He finished seventh in the end, yeah.
Seventh, yeah. And, you know, Crofty was like, oh, this is a really good drive. And Rosberg was like, well, it's not, because he was third at one point and he probably should be on the podium. But I thought he had a really good performance, Alonso. And I thought, yeah, his start was really good as well. And yeah, that new contract, that's quite a... Did you see that coming? Did you think he would be staying at Aston?
Well, yes, in a sense that like, I never really felt like Red Bull were going to take that gamble.
No.
But with Checo performing pretty well, Sainz on the market.
Yuki doing well.
And Yuki doing quite well. It always felt like a bit of a long shot. And Alonso, like, I kind of feel like the shade he's thrown at Mercedes over the years has probably damaged that potential relationship if there was ever to be one. I just don't feel like he would ever be a good fit in that kind of organization. Like, they are... Yeah, the way they operate is very different to how Alonso operates, I think, publicly. So that's two. And then what are you waiting for, really? Like, you know, he's not going to go to McLaren. Ferrari are pretty happy with their setup for next season now. And then you're looking down the grid anyway. And Aston Martin, as I said a few times, there's a lot of potential there. There's a big investment in the team. They've recruited really well. And they've got Honda coming in 2026. And they have done historically some pretty great things in Formula One. So it makes an awful lot of sense, I think. And he's got a team there that really is built to sort of support him and what he wants from a car, which again, he may not get if he moves to another team. So I won't say it was like an easy decision, but I think particularly once like Red Bull and Mercedes both essentially sort of stopped being options, it must have been a pretty easy decision for him to sign. There was a lot of chat about him. Yeah, he was hamming it up, but wasn't he a bit like saying things like, oh, I'm not sure if I want to carry on in the sport. Yeah. And yeah. It's just like, yeah, you're still racing like a guy that 100% wants to stay in the sport.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like if you think about like Vettel and people like that towards the back end of their careers, they did drop back a bit and they just lost that little bit of edge. Alonso hasn't lost that. Like, he is still an absolute monster at the start, as we saw yet again today. He's really good wheel-to-wheel, strategically probably one of the best brains on the grid. Like, why would you stop? So, yeah, good for him. I'm glad he's staying. As I agree with you, like, he is quite a divisive figure in the sport, and there are definitely times where I've hated his guts. But he is great value, and he's a really good driver. So, yeah, the more he can stay, the longer he can stay, the better, really.
Yeah, he's a real asset to Aston Martin, I think. I think he's someone special that the other midfield drivers around that sort of market, you're not getting the quality that he brings, the experience he brings as well. And I think for Aston, they need that, because we'll come on to him. His teammate is just an absolute joke. I'm sorry, but he's just an absolute joke. You know, the fact he's nailed on for next year is just mad. Like, if that team was credible and really wanted to be the best, they'd bin him off and they'd bring someone in that is much better. I mean, he gets Milo Tifu for this weekend for just absolutely backing into Ricciardo and trying to blame it on other people. I mean, yes, it did get a bit congested, but no one else ran into the back of other people. I thought it was such a, like, I think he switched off, wasn't paying attention, and then hit the brakes too hard and then realized, you know, it was too late. Like, it was close between, like, when Ricciardo and Piastri were following each other, but that's, Ricciardo didn't go into the back of Piastri. That's the difference. Whereas, you know, it's no surprise that a driver like Lance Stroll is making mistakes like that. I just think he's always got those in his locker, and he shows the level that he's at. And I think he was last by quite a long way, which was justice.
And he got a bit of a penalty. Well, no, he finished 15th in the end, didn't he? I think.
Oh, maybe with the overtake sergeant. Yeah. But he was whining quite a lot as well. And I saw quite a good tweet saying, when they turn off the engine of Stroll's car, you can still hear a whining noise.
Very good. Yeah, he and Magnussen finished 15th and 16th. They both had quite a tasty race, didn't they? In general.
I mean, Magnussen went for a gap that was never there from well whack, and then just binned Yuki off spun Yuki off, and then Yuki was gone. I mean, it was kind of like, it was almost like a hit job on both the RBs. Within like a couple of laps, they were both out of the race, and they're both running quite well, actually. And you know, it was good to see, actually, that Daniel Ricciardo had quite a good weekend. He out-qualified Yuki for the first time. And has he got a new chassis? Or have they changed the chassis or done something different to the chassis?
I'm not sure.
I thought I read something where saying, I think he got given a new chassis because he thought there were problems with the previous one. So he seems to have found a bit of form, but yeah.
Yeah, poor weekend for RB, really. I mean, I think Yuki qualified really poorly. The decision to put Ricciardo on... Did they put him on soft tyres as well at a rogue point? Or they left him out, I think. They left him out during the first safety cars. And it was just such a missed opportunity. And then he was really stuck. And then obviously got into his trouble with the daddy's favourite boy. I felt a bit bad for both RBs. But yeah, poor weekend from them. And yeah, it's kind of peak Stroll, isn't it, really? Soundly beaten by Fernando Alonso.
Make a mistake
and yeets another driver off the grid.
Yeah, and get a whinge in there as well.
Yeah, pick up a penalty, moan about penalty.
Yeah.
Yeah, how long can it go on for, really? I mean, I don't like digging the guy out, and he's not like a terrible driver. He is like an okay driver, but he's not Aston Martin. Come on.
No.
You can't have Fernando Alonso in one car and then Lance Stroll in the other one. It is just a total mismatch. And if you've got ambitions for picking up more points, like, look at the points finishes Alonso's got this year, comparison to Stroll. It would be, just think about what they could do with that other car if they put somebody good in it. They are a serious disadvantage, I think, points wise.
I wonder if you ever raise that question of like, oh, like, Lawrence, I've been having to think, and yeah, I don't think your son is going to be as good as someone else that's on the market, so let's get rid of him. Do you reckon if you suggest that, you're gone? You're fired.
Killed off. Maybe. I don't think people kind of have that, I guess, that relationship probably with Lawrence Stroll. They could have that conversation.
But there'll never be a championship winning team with a driver like that.
No, but their stated ambition, isn't it? Lawrence Stroll's stated ambition is to win the world championship with Lance as his driver, but it's just absolute pipe dreams. Never going to happen, is it?
I mean, your stated ambition is to play for Arsenal Football Club.
Yeah, exactly. I'd love to just go to the moon.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. Mine is to own a red Ferrari. Doesn't mean it's going to happen. Like, yeah, anyway. Let's move on to Joe. I thought it was a really special weekend for him, and I think Formula One did it well, and the organisers did well. Did you see at the very end when when they had the drivers on the grid in their cars, although Lando did miss the turning, so he went into pit lane and missed to come stay on the grid. But they put out a special like board for Joe so that he could then stop and be greeted out by the Chinese fans. And I thought it was a really nice touch of Formula One, because, and then it, he was very emotional because it was, you know, he posted a great photo on his Twitter this week of him as like a kid in the grandstands cheering on Formula One, and then to race in the first time ever his home race when he's been in the sport for a couple of years. And probably, and also he was very emotional, and I think that was probably the overwhelming thing, the crowd going crazy. But also he must be feel very nervous about his future in the sport right now. Nico Rosberg wasn't afraid to say on the comms that the rumour is that Hulk has gone to Audi for next year.
Oh, really?
He's apparently that's basically done deal. Mm. And then if you think Sainz is going there, that's both Bottas and Joe out of a drive. Not sure where Joe goes up. Joe could maybe go to Haas, maybe go to Williams if they need money. I don't know. So he added, when I knew that, I was sort of watching those scenes of him getting quite emotional, and sort of the crowd's adoration was quite emotional. And he played up to it as well. He did some great overtakes right in front of that grandstand before he gets to the final straight. Really nice. What did you make of Joe's performance this weekend?
Yeah, I think he did well, didn't he? I think he finished ninth in the sprint as well. It's a bit unfortunate not to get a point there, really. And I note the proposed changes to the point structure next year.
Yes. Yeah. What did you make of that?
I think it's good. I think that's really good.
Because the plan now is from 10th down to 15th, everyone gets a point? Was it 10th?
No, just to 12th. I think it's just a 12. So instead of it going, what does it go? It goes like 10, 6, 4, 2, 1 or something. Mm. It'll go 10, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Yeah.
Essentially like two, I think it's two more positions get points. So
oh, nice.
I think that'll be good, particularly for drivers like Zhou Guanyu, who, as you say, had a pretty good weekend, like did quite well in the sprint. I mean, he qualified 16th, ended up finishing 14th. So I guess you can't argue too much with that. And the car is terrible, and the pit stops, oh my god, did you see yet again?
Yeah, like, yeah, front right,
five
front right.
5 seconds plus for a pit stop every time.
It's and Rosberg was like, well, it's not 30 seconds.
Yeah, I know, but that is like, yeah, compared to your competitors, that's quite significant.
Yeah,
when you look at like, so Zhou Guanyu finished 2 seconds behind Gasly and 6 seconds behind Alex Albon, and then 9 seconds behind Esteban Ocon in 11th. So you're getting pretty close to points there. Only 11 seconds off the points. Those pit stops start to add up quite quickly. I'd be quite frustrated, I think, if I was a Sauber driver right now, or indeed a member of the Audi team suddenly getting involved in the sport. But pretty good weekend for him. Pity it didn't really result in any points, but nice to have a home Grand Prix, I'm sure, for him. And yeah, quite a special weekend. So yeah. Good for him.
As I said earlier, the fans were really good. I think they really added to the atmosphere. You could hear them cheering sometimes over the action, which is, I think you only hear that a couple of times across the season. I think Silverstone's always the case, but the fans seem to be loving it. They're really passionate. A real range of merchandise as well. Did you see like some of the high-vis jackets some people had on? Like, didn't someone have one about Christian Horner, which is a bit inappropriate, I think it was. Or did you send me that?
I don't think I sent it to you. Oh, I don't remember
seeing it. Someone may have sent me that.
Yeah.
It was a bit of a weird comment on this high-vis jacket that someone was wearing about being horn or something. I don't know what it was, but yeah. But yeah, the fans were loving the Mexican wave as well. I saw like multiple shots of the Mexican wave.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's good. It's nice to be back, definitely. It's good to be back. And I think you can tell there's a lot of like pent-up interest, isn't there, probably, and they've not had a race there for a long time. So
definitely. And it also is a good racing circuit. It's not a street circuit. It's a good racing circuit. Like that first corner was... Those first couple of corners are so good because people are taking different lines into it, and then like, you know, you can end up being on the outside going in, but then when you're turning around in, you're then leading. You saw some really good range of moves there, so yeah, that was good. Before we go for a quick pit stop, just a couple of other shout outs. Hülkenberg, solid driver. I've never really paid much attention to him, but he is class, isn't he? He's rapid. I was thinking that he's rapid, he's quick, and he's also doesn't make many mistakes.
Yeah, so there's something about this generation of Formula One cars suiting him much better than the last ones. Because I remember when there was talk about him coming back, I remember there being a really good analytical piece done. I can't remember what it was, maybe Autosport, someone like that.
Right.
And they did this analysis of the fact that Hülkenberg had been driving like a lot of ground effect cars for the last like 5 years. Anyway, like outside of Formula One, while he was out, kind of thing. or that like 2 year period. So he went and did DTM for a bit and other things. So, and there was just this sense that like a slightly understeery, quite chunky, potentially quite heavy on its tires, ground effect car might suit him. And it's kind of bearing fruit, I think that. And yeah, he's just doing really well. He's doing absolutely everything you can to finish in the points. And as we've joked about many times, all you've got to do is beat Lance Stroll and you're pretty much guaranteed a point in Formula One now, because the other team's just going to finish in the top eight, top nine. And he's done it a few times now. Keeps picking up points for Haas. Happy days. He's really solid. He's kind of, ever since he's come back, he's just looked the better of the Haas drivers consistently, hasn't he? Like, he's been much better than Magnussen, for my money. So
I think he looks a lot more refined and much more calculating and measured. Whereas the thing with Magnussen, he gets quite hot-headed sometimes, which then makes mistakes or crashes. And I think, you know, if you're looking at the two of them, you'd pick Hülkenberg, and it's no surprise that Hülkenberg's probably been tapped to go to Audi because he's probably quite a safe pair of hands. And if you look at that pool of drivers, he's probably the best, quickest, safest pair of hands at the moment. So it's good for him, I think, that he's got a really good seat for the future, because he did miss several years of his career, probably because of Lance Stroll undeservedly having a seat and having to sit on the sideline. So, that's a good bit of karma, that is, for Formula One. Go on.
Would you like me to do my Latifi?
Go on. Yes.
It's going to hurt. I'm sorry.
Go on.
I'm going to give it to Lewis Hamilton.
Ooh.
Sorry, his goatedness, Sir Lewis Hamilton. And it's for two reasons, right?
Okay.
So he had a brilliant sprint. He did a really good job. Finished in seconds, nothing he could do against Max Verstappen, but drove a really, really good sprint, picked up some points, happy days. I think there was a real opportunity for really good points on the board for him, maybe even a podium, based on how Checo particularly performed this weekend. I feel like Lewis could potentially have beaten him as well as Norris this weekend, just based on the initial pace of the car and how it looked in the sprint. So I think there's a real missed opportunity there. So first one is just don't qualify 18th. He totally ruined his last lap. Entirely driver error, nothing to do with the team.
And he made the wrong setup choice as well.
He made the wrong setup choice. Again, that is quite frustrating to hear, because I don't know how many different experiments does Lewis have to run to know there's probably a working window the car will get in, and it's not going to get much better than this. I understand that he's clearly looking for something and searching for something, but the more you do that, the more you leave yourself at risk of things like this happening. Qualifying 18th. Now, he did all right in the Grand Prix, got it back up to the points and finished 9th, but I don't know, it just feels like a big missed opportunity. And what kind of irked me a little bit, and this is, I am a Lewis Hamilton fan as well, what irked me is in the post qualifying interviews, he was kind of laughing off a little bit. It was like he said, oh yeah, I tried a setup change, I thought it was going to make the car better and it couldn't make it any worse, and it did make it worse. And he just laughed about it and found it all quite funny. Now I understand he is leaving, he's moving to Ferrari, there's probably much less on him for this season than any other year he's raced in Formula One, so he probably can afford mentally to just be a bit I'm going to enjoy this last season with Mercedes, but the reality is I'm not going to be challenging for wins, I'm not going to be challenging for the championship, so whatever, kind of a vibe. But I don't know, I think publicly, and if I'm Toto and I'm looking at that interview, I would want to see someone who was a bit more irked about how the car was performing, rather than someone who was a bit more resigned to it and finding it funny. So for those reasons, and I'm not a massive Mercedes fan, really, I'm a Lewis Hamilton fan first and foremost over Mercedes, really. But as a fan of Formula One, and looking at it from a kind of, putting myself in Toto's shoes, I'd have been really pissed off about that, I think. So for that reason, I've decided I'm going to give him a Latifi. Is this the first one we've given Lewis ever on the pod?
Let me quick check. So let me just double check.
We've definitely given them to Mercedes before.
Mercedes.
But I don't remember a time we gave one to Lewis.
Yeah. I think this is the first ever Lewis Hamilton one. I've never given him one.
Well, obviously.
I've been close. and I do agree with you. I didn't see his post-quali interview, but in the race, lap two, these tires are awful, man. He just sat, and then Rosberg was like, well, he just sounds like he's given up already. He just sounds resigned. It's like, come on, you can make something happen. And for the first few laps, he didn't really do anything. He was kind of stuck in 18th, 19th.
Yeah.
And then I don't know what happened. Maybe it was he got off those tires, which he wasn't happy about. And then he did come alive a bit, and he did make some moves. And I think, to get into the points was a good showing, but it was like, he could have had a much, much better weekend if he hadn't cocked around with his setup. And the thing I found a bit odd is he obviously had a setup that worked in the sprint.
Yeah. Why change it?
Why change it? Like, if it's good enough, you were never going to find a setup that was going to make you quicker than Max. Like, so why change it and be like, right, but let's try and do something a bit radical. Maybe he just knows he's not going to win his eighth this year, so he's just going to not dick around, but just be like, I'll just try and help the team the best I can and just not get too stressed out about it. So I'll just mess around a little bit. But
This does happen. Like, Lewis isn't alone. Like, I remember when Sebastian Vettel knew he was leaving Ferrari. I remember there were particularly a couple of episodes in Drive to Survive where he's sat with Kimi and they're talking about the Ferrari fact that they're having like issues all the time and the pit stops are going badly and the car was really rubbish and breaking down all the time. And the Ferrari press people were like impressing the need on Vettel to like maintain the company line and stuff, and Vettel just basically treated it as a massive lol and spent 6 months ripping into Ferrari before moving on. Like, I don't think Lewis is going to go that far because like he is driving for a team that's supported him winning sort of 6 of his 7 world championships and stuff, and there's a relationship there. But I don't know, I just really didn't like it. Like, think about like what people would do to get in that seat right now. I think maybe it was a bit, I don't know, it just smelled a bit disrespectful. That's what I saw a driver that was being a bit disrespectful towards a team that yes is struggling, but he is leaving, he's chosen to.
Yeah, and I think as well, if you compare it to the performance of his teammate, like George, car wasn't good enough for that, but George had a really good weekend, just being under the radar, just being quick, and what, he finished 6th, was it?
Yeah, he's beaten him again. Yeah, he's beaten Lewis every race, isn't he, so far this year?
But yeah, not good. Right, before we go to a very quick pit stop, we must give a shout out to probably one of the greatest ever one-off helmets in Formula One history. Alex Albon's Panda helmet. If you have not seen it, go search it. It is amazing. There's a brilliant shot of when it cut to his onboard camera facing him. It just is this smiling panda just like looking back at you. It just, I don't know, it just worked really, really well. So well done, Alex Albon, for designing a brilliant helmet and making the most of it. I thought it was absolutely fantastic. That might be my favourite helmet of the season so far. I think last year it was the Bottas one, during when he did his own mullet on the helmet. I think this is my standout so far. So well done to Alex for a brilliant helmet.
Retweet. I'm here for it. I've always wanted to see a panda drive a Formula One car.
And you saw it, and it looked good as well with the halo as well. When he cut it, it did just look like a smiling panda was driving it.
Yeah,
it did. It reminded me of when Lotus were in the sport, and Heikki Kovalainen was driving for them. And I think he maybe had it for a one-off. He had an Angry Birds helmet. That was pretty good. That was pretty good. But yeah, I do love the one-off helmets. Some drivers love them more than others, don't they? Some really go for it. Some, like Fernando Alonso, Max Verstappen, don't really.
No,
dabble in the one-offs.
Vettel used to get them all the time, didn't he? I remember he had one like a changed helmet every couple of weeks.
Yeah. It's because then they banned them a few years, didn't they? They could only have one-off one a year, and now they're allowed as many as they want, which is much better. But yeah, no, that was very good. Right, with that, we'll take a very quick pit stop. Hello, welcome back from the break. Hope you had a jolly old time. Right, a couple weeks ago we made our predictions for China. Let's see how we get on. Over to you, Sam. How did we do? I know I had Lance Stroll, and I know I probably got that wrong, so I'm sure it's going to be an eventful one for me.
It was a mixed bag, I would say. Whose would you like me to do first? You pick.
Go on, do yours first.
Okay. So I had the aforementioned Nico Hülkenberg, who I predicted to finish in 12th, and he fared better, got a point in 10th, so I picked up 2 points.
Lovely stuff.
I had Daniel Ricciardo, who was, as we discussed, yeeted from the circuit. I had him predicted to finish in 14th, and he ended up classified 20th, so I picked up 6 for him. And then
Was he the first one out? Blimey.
Yeah, I think so.
Ah, jeez.
And then I had his goatedness, who I, to be fair, fortunately predicted to finish in 8th. And he ended up finishing in 9th. So I picked up 1 point for Lewis.
Nice. So what did you get overall?
I think that's right. Is that a total of 9? Hang on, let me just check the Ricciardo one.
Yeah, let me just check.
You might be right.
Yeah, he's 18th. Because Bottas is first. I've just checked.
Oh, is he? Oh, okay. So,
I've saved you 2 points there.
Thanks, man. I'll take it.
This could be big.
okay, so what does that leave me on? That leaves me on 7. Okay, so that makes that. Sorry, listener, this is not an audio feature, but needs math.
Okay. You're doing some mental maths.
Yes. Okay, good. All right, so 7 for me. You had Esteban Ocon. You predicted him to finish in 17th. Alpine actually had quite a good weekend. I'm not going to talk about it, but see how they get on in Miami. Maybe we'll cover them a bit more in the next episode. But they did all right. And he finished in 11th, just outside the points. So you picked up 6 points for him. Then you had Daddy's favourite boy, who you predicted to finish in 11th. He finished 15th, so you got 4 points for him. And then I'm sorry to say, you had Yuki Tsunoda, who you predicted to finish in the points in 10th. He ended up classified 19th because he was also yeeted from the circuit for a total of 19.
Is that our highest ever score?
I don't know. I'll have to go back. I'll have to go back and check the spreadsheet. Not this season. I think this season, that is the highest, yeah. Last 19. Season, I feel like we had higher, more yeah, what, we had more points scored last year.
So you were 7 and I was 19.
Yeah. So 11. It's a 12-point swing.
Poor.
And I am now ahead by 10.
Woohoo! This is good. I like a challenge. I like a challenge. God, that is a big swing.
It is a big swing. Unexpected. I mean, as you're having spent, 95% of last season following you? Yeah. Pretty much in points.
How long will you hold on to this 10-point gap now?
1 week, maybe two. We'll see. Well, with that in mind, we are taking a break, aren't we, between these two races because of your wedding and whatnot. Yes. So,
we'll not be recording a podcast.
No, we will not. So let's do the draw for Miami. So I'm up first. Number 17. Who could that be? It is Zhou Guan Yu.
Oh, nice.
Okay, Guan Yu. I think he will finish 16th.
Nice.
Next up is number 7, George Russell.
Ooh, where's he going to finish? Miami.
I mean, he's just been solid, isn't he? I feel like we should talk a bit more about him at some point.
Miami, maybe. let's do Miami. Let's talk about him.
Because he is doing like a solid job in a really crap car. Sorry, Mercedes. I think he'll definitely be in the points again. I'm going to go 6th for Russell.
Nice.
And then last, number 19, Pierre Gasly.
Ooh.
Will that Alpine get points? Probs not. But it's not as bad, is it? It's not as bad now.
It's getting ever so slightly better. Still not great, but it's getting ever so slightly better, I think.
Because he finished 13th, didn't he, this weekend?
Yeah. They were never really... They still don't look that good in that midfield fight when it's so competitive as well.
I'll go 14th for Gasly.
Nice. That's a good safe option.
Okay. All right, you're up.
Here we go. Please give me a good draw.
Oh, please get Lance Stroll again. You got number 18. That is Daniel Ricciardo.
Oh, that's a hard one. I'm going to think Daniel's going to finish 13th.
Okay.
Come on, Danny Ricky boy.
Number 4, Carlos Sainz.
Ooh, I've not had a good front runner for ages. I think Sainz is going to be 3rd.
Podium for young Carlos. Yeah, have you noticed Martin Brundle loves to call him young Carlos?
Young Carlos, because he's his dad. Because he probably knows his dad very well. Carlos Sr.
Okay, you can't have 18 again. You can have number 20, though. Oh, that's Valtteri Bottas.
Oh, man. 15th.
Okay.
15th is always my go-to one when I've got someone in the midfield. I'm not sure because it can go either way from 15th.
Yeah, and we've done well not to pick any of the same finishing positions. Yeah. We've got 13th, 14th, 15th and 16th.
Nice. All line up well together. And neither of us have got Max as well. We've not had Max for ages.
No,
that's good.
I'll go back and have a look. When was the last time one of us... I think you got Max, didn't you? You got Max very first race.
Yeah.
And remarkably, you got 0 points for that for him.
And what a surprise.
None of us have had Max or Checo, actually.
Oh, really?
We've had Leclerc like 3 times, Norris a couple of times, Russell a couple of times, Hamilton once, Sainz now once. We haven't had Checo yet either.
Oh, interesting. Very good.
Maybe there's a fault with my little number randomizer. The number 2 doesn't exist.
Yeah. It's anti-Checo.
Right, I think that brings us to the end of the podcast. We will be back in a couple of weeks' time in Miami. Thanks very much for joining us. Remember to subscribe and leave a review on your podcast platform of choice. If you enjoyed it, why don't you share it with a friend? You can follow us both on Twitter. Will is at WPoiser and I am at LightsOutSam. On Instagram, we are at TheLightsOutPod.
Yes, we are. We'll be back in 2 weeks when I'll be a married man. And we'll talk all about the Miami Grand Prix. With that, that's all from us. All the best and goodbye.
Bye-bye.